We bless you, Almighty God. We praise you. Worship you, Jesus. You are holy and you are worthy. Glorify you and praise you, Father. I thank you that we labor together, Father, as soldiers. We labor together, side by side, laboring to do all things that are pleasing unto you, Father. Doing those things that always please you. You said, Jesus, let us go over unto the other side. You said, let us go over unto the other side. We live off that, Lord. We live on it. We live through it. We live inside of that image. You said it, Jesus. No matter how strong the wind was or how much water filled the ship, all they had to do on that day was say, the Son of God said, we're going to the other side. We make it so hard, Father. We make it so hard. Just because we meet resistance, we think your word is not true. You said, let us go on to the other side. We finish this, Father. Regardless. Then a report. The natural. The TV and the news. Your word cannot be rewritten, Father. It is settled, established, holy, and undefiled. We take it. We read it. We hear it. And we believe it. We do those things that are pleasing in your sight, Father. So we worship you for it, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Get that little medley for me. Whoever's in the back sound booth. I don't know who's back there, but worship you, Lord. Robert. Hello, soldiers. And soldierettes. Glory. What I mean, you know, I can really say this. I just like sitting really on Wednesdays and Sunday mornings as a soldier, just sitting there hearing the word of God. I look forward to just coming and hearing the word of God. But I'm not gonna lie, I've been excited for teaching these last few Sunday nights, because I know that we have a core out there. There's not many, but Jesus was just one. Paul was just one. So I never expect to have a capacity crowd here on Sunday nights, and you're not going to get it according to what we preach or teach. You're just not yet. So that wave of glory comes, and then there'll be no denying it then. See, right now we just got words. We just got words right now. Truth, though. But to everybody else, the truth that it's coming out of our spirit, it's just words to them. But when that substance comes, and I'm patient. We're told to be patient. Some 30, some 60, some 100. The word of God is heard to be kept patiently. Patiently. So I'm glad you're here, soldiers. I mean that with all my heart. I'm glad you're here, soldiers, for this briefing from the Commander-in-Chief. This briefing. You're here for a briefing. The Commander-in-Chief. As a businessman for a long time, I could adjust to any type of customer. I could adjust to the migrant worker. I could adjust to the everyday husband and wife living week by week, making a sale. I could adjust to a millionaire. I could adjust to companies that are worth millions. I could adjust to every situation, to every customer. I could adjust. I could adjust my tone. I could adjust the size of my words if I had to. One day I tried to be slick. I tried to use a propane lingo on a guy I didn't think knew anything about propane. He made me blush. I'll call you, sir, with a bid. I never called him. He knew more about propane than I did. But as a businessman, and I've been a successful businessman, really and truly, because 9 out of every 10 customers that I would go see, I would get a signature on a contract. Because really, I tried to give them a deal that did not violate my conscience. See, I got to answer to a higher power. But as a manager, as a good manager, my strengths were customer retention. I was just known as somebody that did not lose accounts. I just didn't lose accounts. I just did not. I knew everybody, and they all knew me, and I made it a habit to go see all my customers all the time. And even recently, as when something happened in my life, I left for a season. The company treated me great, but during my time off, they lost 15 to 16 customers within 2 years. Customers that I had had for years I've had, and I was shocked that we lost them. So they retained me, retained my wife, as she started Rosie's consultation and customer retention. So I went back, and we opened up a business under her name, and I work for my wife. But out of the 16, I've gotten 9 back with 6 left, and I'm working on them. And I've got several contracts signed just because people knew that I was back and they knew that I cared. But as a manager, you have to know how to read a profit and loss statement, a P&L. You're judged as a manager by your EBITDA. How many know what EBITDA means? Anybody? Earnings before interest, taxes, and depreciation and amortization. That's the bottom line on a P&L. If they want you to make $1 million, you got to meet EBITDA. Earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization. That's the bottom line. If you, on that financial statement in the last month of the fiscal year, if it says $1 million and that was your budget and you met it, you met EBITDA. You met bottom line money. So they give you a bonus because you met bottom line money. You met that $1.5 million or $2 million and you met it, and that's what you were judged on. But you have to learn how to read a P&L, which is 3 sheets of very tiny writings with expenses and what you've spent and what you've made and what your margin. You have to go through it with a fine-tooth comb. If you do not know how to read a P&L, you can have propane sales in abundance, but if you do not monitor your expenses, your bottom line, it would just, you'll never meet bottom line. So in order to meet bottom line, you had to know how to go through a P&L. That was, I would go through a P&L to a T. I knew my P&L's real good. Okay, I spent too much this month. I got to cut back next month and be under budget on this item. And I would do that literally. I would go for hours, every line, going through my P&L. Okay, I'm $60,000 short in December. That means somewhere in January, I got to cut expenses. I got to cut expenses, and I got to make up the $60,000 from December, and I got to meet budget for January, so I'm going to have to get with the program. So I would study my P&L. The bottom line is they wanted me to put money in the bank to meet my EBITDA, my bottom line, earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization. If that line said $1 million at the end of the year, good job, Homer. Why are you saying that? Because in this walk with Jesus, the bottom line is the agape of the Father. Nothing else matters but the love that me and you walk in. Nothing. We've switched over from the secular world. Now we're talking about biblical things. In the secular world, I had to produce. Safety was of the utmost importance, but the bottom line was EBITDA, earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, amortization. I had to meet that number. And I usually met it quite a bit, unless it was a freeze and it hurt the surroundings, then I couldn't make it, but they understood that. But I always made bottom line because I knew how to read my P&L. You know where I'm going with that, right? With knowing how to read the P&L and the bottom line and the end of it all being love, you know what the next thing that I'm going to say is. This is your P&L, my friends. This is line upon line of what we have to do, consume, to walk in the love of the Father. This is the P&L. This is what we live by. This standard kingdom principles is what we live by. And as you heard this morning by Pastor Bronk, kingdom principles are being mocked now in the church. We know the world's going to mock them. That's a guarantee. But Satan, in a subtle manner, has made a mockery of the church. And we have, in general, allowed it and do not even know it. And until that glory is manifested here on earth, if that glory doesn't come, this country is going to be in a lot of trouble. But our faith is that Jesus said we're going to the other side. We're going to the other side. But the bottom line in all things is the agape, the love that we walk in. There's not a day that I don't spend in that little room there that the image of revival does not grow in my spirit more and more every day. It just grows. I believe that the love of God and an outpouring are one thought. I do not think they're separate. Religion has separated because there's no power. And there's no power, there's no love. Now, we're striving for this love. We're being taught every week on the love of God. And we work on ourselves here. We're not content with being what the flesh says that we are. So we work on ourselves. We edify our spirit by what we're taught. We consume God's word because the bottom line is the love of the Father. That's the bottom line. And this, my friend, is the P&L. This is what we study line upon line to learn, to be consumed by God's word, to do those things that are pleasing in His sight. It's what we live for. Now, I've been again in 1 John. I've been in Luke. I've been everywhere lately. But I camp Saturday for a couple hours in just 1 John. Over and over and over again. Probably till the day that I die. We're going to touch a little bit on 1 John. We're going to go a little bit more in depth than what I had before. Maybe you've got it already. This is a little new to me here. It's going to be a little redundant to you, but I'm going to add a little bit more to it as the Holy Ghost show me some more light in it. And I believe 1 John, you think you got it figured out, and then just a little bit more shines that you can see. And if there's anything that I want in my life, is to walk in the love of God at all times. At all times. When you treat me good, when you treat me bad, if my wife leaves me, if she leaves me, you know what Pastor Bronk said about another man, I got rights and I got a clause. Just go on, I'll call Harry Robert, they'll set up outside, I'm going to whoop you, honey. But there's no clause in the spirit or in God's word that says we ever exit love. Lest a man send your wife Texas, and I got to agree with Pastor Bronk. And we exit that love. I'm just playing. But there's no clause in the word of God or in our spirit that says you exit love. We've made clauses. We've made a whole bunch of clauses. But I can't find in the word of God where they exist. Because my Savior did this and never exited love. It is finished. And never left love. It is finished. And never left love in his humanity. As a human being, our Savior never exited the love of God. So I have hope because he did it in his humanity. As my perfect prototype, I have hope. And so do you. And so do you. It takes me to 1 John chapter 4 and John 15. Bear with me here. Like I told Pastor Brown the other day, what we're taught here, I was talking to Noelia in Texas the other day, and people hear the messages that we have here, and they assume there's a standing room only in our churches. Really, they do. It's beyond her. And I say her because she's a good friend of ours. And when, just to let you know, guys, she is a young lady. But when she calls me and I call her back, I call my wife. Guys, just be smart. Oh, honey, Noelia called me. She wants to talk. Okay, go ahead. I'll text my wife. I'm not dumb. I'm a smart man. I know how Satan works. And I'll text, honey. Noelia called me. I'm going to call her back. But she can't believe that the truth that Pastor Bronk teaches or that is taught here, that our church is empty. She said, you tell them. She said that on the phone. You tell them that they're crazy. The word for word, you tell them that we're begging for a church like the Family Prayer Center in West End. You tell them that they're crazy, that I can't believe that the church is empty. You tell them. I said, I will tell them, but I won't tell them because the ones I'm telling are there. The ones I need to tell don't come. So please, do you have another plan other than what I how can I tell them if they're not here to tell them? She scratches her head. She tells me all the time, are you coming down? When are you ready? We'll get it started for you. You know what? My heart burns for that place. It burns for West Texas. I could go right now and start a church and do what everybody else does. Or I could stay here, learn. When it's time, it'll bear witness with my pastor. It'll bear witness with me and my wife. And the path will be set. And then I go. What if that's 30 years from now? Well, I'm here in there for 30 more years. No hurry, but I love that place. She said, oh, my God, I can't believe you. Are you serious? 20 people on Wednesday? I said, yeah. So She almost cries. She said, I can't believe it. But it's okay. Because we march, soldiers. We march. Let me ask you a question. It could be a trick question. Maybe it isn't a trick question. And you can answer it if you like. You might want to be quiet, though, after I ask you the question. Or you might not. Does every Christian walk in love? I'm going to give it a shot. Who said no? Because I can make fun of you in a little bit. Who said no? Think about it now. Does every Christian walk in love? How many of you say yes? Raise your hand. Count, Pastor Brunk. Probably ain't but 10 people here anyway, but count anyway. Does every Christian walk in love? How many of you say yes? Say yes. Does every Christian walk in love? Say yes. Is every Christian walk in love? Say no if you don't think so. Okay. Well, every Christian walks with the love of God inside of them. Inside of them. If you don't walk with the love of God inside of you, you're not part of the beloved. You are not born again. Everybody walks because when you get born again, the Holy Ghost breathes the breath of life in you. He breathes the Spirit of God in you, my friend, and God lives in your spirit. So therefore, you walk with love inside of you. Now, It's another thing to live out that love that lives inside of you. That's where the problem lies. That's why we're commanded to walk in love, because we're born of love. And love comes out of our spirit. But every Christian has the love of God living in them. But not every Christian lives out of that love that lives inside of them. That's why this country is an absolute mess. Because we do not live our life out of our spirit, not of the renewing of, well, if you're not obeying your spirit, you're not renewing your mind with the word of God and with the Holy Ghost. You're just not. That's why the world is so messed up. Let me backtrack a little bit on the rabbit trail. And I might get rebuked for this, but it's okay. I've been rebuked before, and I'll just say, okay, I'm sorry, I won't say it again. It's not bad. But this might hurt. With what is at stake now? What is being passed? I pray to God, being under this man's ministry for this long, that you don't believe like this. If you call yourself a born-again believer, and you do not think it strange or wrong that a man go to a female restroom, if you do not think it wrong that it's okay that a man marry a man or a woman, if you think it's okay for 800,000 babies to be slaughtered, you might want to get born again. You might want to get born again. There is no way that a son of God can think like that. It's not biblical. Pastor Homer, you don't know me. You're right. I don't. You're from another species. I don't know you. You're not born again. I don't know you. I know a little bit of what this is. There's no way. And you might be born again and on your way out, but you're real close to it if you think like that. The world is messed up because the church is walking in darkness, and we call it light. And the world sees it. We're the standard that the world is judged by, and they see us doing this. Well, it must be okay. And I got permission to say what I'm going to say next. I got permission from somebody. And I'm going to phrase it. I had to talk to Pastor Bronk a while back. I said, Pastor, I gotta ask you not to put my teachings when you were gone on the web, because there was faces in front of me when I said these things. And he said, okay, Pastor Bronk. He weighs everything. He don't comment on stuff. He said, I'll give me a couple of days and I'll get back with you. He said, let me hear your teachings. But you know what? It's almost impossible sometimes to preach the word of God and not know somebody's doing something. It's not going to happen. You just know somebody. I know people in my family that are gay. Does that mean that I say that gay, being homosexual, is not wrong? No. I step up to the platform, baby, and I speak the truth. It doesn't matter to me. I put the mic in my hand and I speak the truth, regardless of what's at hand. But I got permission today from a person to say this. Somebody was telling me how they had dreams of preaching. And if this person finds out that I said it, I have to man up and say, yes, I said it. So I'm going to have to man up. It doesn't matter. I'm going to have to man up. Yes, I said it. And if we would have been by ourselves, I probably would have brought a little correction to the situation, but I couldn't have brought correction at that time. I had a vision of me preaching. All I'm worried about is revival. That's all I'm worried about. And I was thinking to myself, I didn't say nothing. Brother, you are openly about knowingly come against God's word, and you're worried about revival? Openly knowing counsel from an awesome man of God, and you're speaking revival? My friend, that is 1 John chapter 1. I saw myself preaching. Well, I saw you repenting. And it might get to that person, but it's okay. I got to stand firm. Let me teach you by this. If there is, as a believer, habitual darkness in your life, don't worry about this pulpit. Don't worry about your calling. Worry about being holy as He is holy. And in context, 1 Peter says, be ye holy in a trial. In a trial. Sin is not a trial, it's pleasure. So you don't even qualify for 1 Peter. Yeah, I know it pretty good, huh? Yeah, pretty good, isn't it? I'm going to say this. I'm going to get on with my teaching. It won't be long, promise. But you get the message about revival, what I'm saying. I'm not talking about the young man, a young woman that's laboring and they got a struggle in their life and they hate it and they march. I'm not talking about that. If that were the case, I'd be talking about myself. I'm talking about that habitual junk in your life right in front of you, and it don't faze you, and you're worried about revival. No, hombre, vato. Your wife was just saying, what did he say? What does nombre vato mean? I don't agree with you, Homer. All I can say, big boy, if you want to come with a debate, I won't debate it. And that's what Pastor Bond has been talking about, debate lately. I'm too scared to debate with anybody. But if you're going to come with it, big boy, go through 1 John more than once. Because he who teaches me is God, a.k.a. the Holy Ghost. That's who teaches. So you better come with it and come with 1 John more than once if you want to debate the scripture. Because he who teaches me is the third person of the Godhead. How's he teach you? I'm going to give you a 4-second clip. All day long. And this unfolds right before my eyes. Can I say that? You missed that. Oh, my. Oh, you missed it. Oh, my gosh. So come with it, big boy. Come with it. Well, I think you're wrong. I don't care what you think. Right here. This is the word of God. Soldiers. This is the word of God. These last days, buddy, you better know it. You better be praying in the spirit. Because what we're taught here, our conservative biblical views and lifestyle will be evil, are being evil spoken of. But Jesus said in Luke 6, leave for joy, for great is your reward. I asked somebody the other day, are you scared? They said, no, okay, I asked Pastor Bronk. So are you scared? He said, no, there's joy in my heart. Well, if my pastor said that, I had to say the same thing. I couldn't say, well, I'm scared. I said, yeah, me too. I texted him, that's the Pastor Bonk. The only good thing about us ever going to jail, you're the pastor, you go first. I go second. Glory. Let's get to 1 John. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 4. Somewhere in there towards the end. We're going to see from a different, or maybe you've picked up on this. I hadn't until about this week. I had a little bit, but I really got the full revelation of it this week. I asked you if every Christian walked in love, and said, somebody said, no, it didn't matter. We fixed it. The truth of the matter is every Christian has the love of God in him. If he doesn't have the love of God in him, then he's not born again. He's not part of the beloved. That's just, so every Christian, even one that acts as carnal as a sinner, I mean, I don't know where the line is where one walks away from God, and thank God I don't know where that line is at. I do know it's a habitual line, according to 1 John chapter 3. I do know that if you habitually sin, you might better watch it, according to 1 John chapter 3. I don't know where that line is where one walks away from the Lord. I don't know where that's at. Thank God, because probably a lot of people wouldn't make it if I was a judge of that. But 1 John chapter 4, John said this. He said, beloved, if God so loved us, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. For no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, I'll stop there. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. For no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Okay? We established that when a person is born again, that the love of God lives in them. That's biblical. If the love of God does not live in you, then you do not have the Spirit of God in you. If you do not have the Spirit of God, and you're not part of the beloved. But if you say, Jesus, you are the Christ, and you meant it instantaneously, you go from death unto life, from unrighteousness to righteousness. You go from being a hellion to a son of God, because you believe that Jesus was the Christ. So I was reading John 15 a little bit this week. Beloved, if God so loved us, if I told you that my wife loved me, what would your first impression be if I was to stand up here and let's say you didn't know her, and I walked in and said, guys, I'm engaged to a lady named Rosie, a.k.a. Debo. What would be your first impression when I told you that I was engaged to a lady named Rosie? Excuse me. What would be your first thought? Or what would you think? Think about it. Somebody help me out here. Feedback. Yeah, but again, that's a good answer. That's a good answer, but what would make me love her? Go ahead. It's a classroom right now. Huh? Okay, my relationship, but based on what though? Okay, based on the bond. Okay, guys, you can't have a relationship with somebody unless you see them first. Come on, man. I've seen her. She looked good. I've seen her. I had to see her first to bond with her. Had to see her first to think she was pretty. I had to see her. Beloved, if God so loved us. See, Pastor Rob makes me mad because I think he knows where I'm going with this, and it makes me very mad because he's not supposed to know this. I saw her. I met her first at the skating rink. The seventh grade, she had a big old afro bitch. It looked like Freddie Fender. And I met her at the skating rink. Oh my gosh. And since then, she's been mine. The Bible says, beloved, if God so loved us, okay, God. Now we concluded on Sunday night that Homer loved Rosie because he had to see her first. He had to see the afro. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Okay, if God so loved me, I also ought to love one another. This is the part that you need to catch, for no man has seen God at any time. Well, I saw Rosie. Honestly, I think the first time I saw her, I think I fell in love with her. Really, I really, I really think I said, oh my God, who is that bushy-haired woman? I think I love that. That first time I seen her, the skating, she said, seventh grade. Couples only skating. You know how you say couples only? You want to skate with me? I bought her a hot dog and a Coke, and I stole her heart forever. But I saw her. But I saw her and fell in love. Really, I think I did first time I saw her. Saw her and I fell in love with her. Beloved, if God so loved us, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. For no man has seen God at any time. God, how did you love me? How did you love me? Bible says no man has ever seen your face. How did you love me? And when I figure out how you love me, then John writes that I'm to love one another to the same capacity. For no man has seen God at any time. John, think about it now. Like even the one that says, and I hear, I think this is the only verse Renee knows when he's doing worship. God, so this is the only one he knows. He says, Lord, we loved you because you first loved us. He says it all the time. Oh, Lord, we love you because you first loved us. Oh, Lord, I because you first loved us. Watch Wednesday or Sunday. Oh, Father, I love you because you first loved me. Renee, do you know what that means, Renee? I do. We'll get to that maybe later. Listen, watch Wednesday. Sunday's good. Oh, Father, I love you because you first loved me. But this goes in line with what I'm going to teach you right now. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Jesus said in 15, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Is there a parallel there? Does it seem like? Tremendous parallel. Beloved, if God so loved us, God, I've never seen you according to the writings of John in 1 John chapter. I've never seen you. So how have you demonstrated your love towards me? Well, we know that Christ was born with your spirit in him, and he went out into the world testifying to the world who you were, not just with this, but with lifestyle. Beloved, if God so loved us, God, how did you love me? How did you love me? And when I figure out how you love me, then you told me to go and love the world or to love my brother the same way that you loved me. Beloved, born again believer, if God so loved you, we ought also to love one another. This is where we've missed it. That's why the world is in a mess, because we do not know the meaning of biblical love. We call it and we think it's an emotion. Far from it. Beloved, if God so loved us, God, I've never seen you before. In fact, the Bible says a little bit farther down that no man has seen you at any time. So it's not physical. How did you love me, Father? How did you love me? I haven't seen your face. Haven't seen your face, Lord. How did you love me? And then when I figure out how you love me, you say we ought to love one another. For no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, his love is perfected inside of us. I want that. Beloved, if God so loved us, I tell you how he loved us. When I acknowledge that 33-year-old Jewish man named Jesus Christ, when I acknowledged him that he was the Savior of the world, God loved me by putting his spirit inside me, the same spirit that Christ had in his humanity As the Father hath loved me, Jesus said, and put his spirit in me. I was born with his spirit the same way he's loved you, Renee. He's put his spirit in you. And the way Christ had the spirit of God in him and lived out of that spirit, he loved me and you. Because he lived his life out of the spirit that God put in him. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. So I can't love you but only from one place. From one place is the only place that I can love you out of. And that's loving you the way God loved me. He put his spirit in me. And I love the world. I love you by obeying whatever comes out. I obey him by abiding in that light. He said, the same way that Christ loved me and you, by living out of the love of God that lived in him, he's asking me and you to live the same exact way. That's why the world is a mess, because we don't live out of our spirit. We live in the flesh. The world beholds it. We call it light, and it's darkness, and the world beholds it, and they live the same exact way because the church is living like that. We don't live our life out of the spirit. We don't even vote out of the spirit. Why? Because we're scared of persecution from our culture. We're terrified. You might agree with Pastor Bronk, but I'm going to tell you this. I've seen very few in this church. Not that we're looking for a debate, but we've been quiet for way too long because of persecution from our culture. Hispanics, Haitians, and African Americans, we're starting to think alike. We're scared of persecution. Did you just say that? Yes, I did. I'm not a son of Hispanic culture. I am a son of God. I'm not scared to say what's right in this. Because as long as it comes with the agape and it comes out of my spirit, I am in the will of God. I'm tired of sitting back and seeing passive Christians just standing there taking every single punch from the world and we say nothing. I'm not telling you to go look for a fight, but for God's sake, don't be scared to quote truth, man. Don't be scared. It might cost you a friend. It might cost you friends. Stand firm in the word of God. Jesus stood firm. Extremely firm. To the end, he stood firm. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Saying that certain things is wrong is still love. No man has seen God at any time. We haven't seen him, but he lives in us. And we show the world who God is, not physically, but we show him by the actions, that by the work that we live in. We obey that inward witness, and the world knows that there's a God. If somebody's going to be one, if they have the capacity to be one, and we're walking in the light, and God puts them in our midst, and they want to be won over to God, and we're living right, we're going to win them over. We will win them over. If they're concluding that they're a sinner, if they're concluding that they want a Savior, and if we're walking in the light, we will win them over. We can't say that God is light walking in the flesh. The church has been saying that for years. God is love. God is love. God is love. We say that out of a fleshly disposition, my friends. He said, as God loved us and gave us of his love and gave us of his spirit, we live out of that spirit at all times. That's how we love one another. We live our life out of that spirit, obeying the word of the Almighty God, regardless of what's at stake. I know I'm headed for trouble down the road. I know I am. I know Pastor Bronk is too. He's going first. We can't be scared, man. You can't be scared. His love is inside of me, and his love is manifest to the world as me and you abide in the light, man. We can't demonstrate the love of God outside of living our life in the light. No man has seen God anytime, and nobody will. But when we love one another, who God is inside of us, they'll know that he exists. we keep abiding in that light and keep striving to walk in love, before long, we're going to have more than just words to say. Did you hear the prophecy this morning? Did you hear it this morning? We keep walking in that love. Something's about to happen. But stand firm in the word. Don't go look for a fight. But don't be scared to say that marriage is a union between a man and a woman. I got news for you. I got some beautiful granddaughters. A man's not going to go in the restroom with my granddaughters. I don't know what I can do right now. I'll hit somebody eventually. Might hit one of my own granddaughters, but I'm going to swing eventually. Grandpa Homer, that was me. Well, get out of the way. I'm sorry. I think you've noticed by now that I'm not a politically correct person at all. We've stayed back too long on the ropes like this, letting the world evangelize us, man. Please, let me reiterate, don't go look for a fight. Don't go start a topic on Facebook just to fight with somebody. But for God's sake, man, for God's sake, we got to stand strong. Beloved, if God so loved us and put his love inside of me and you, we also ought to love one another by living our lives openly out of the spirit that he loved us. He said, Homer, you believe that Jesus is the Christ? You believe that he is the Messiah? Yes, I do, Father. Boom, the life of God came in and dwelt my human spirit. And I'm to live my life out of the love that he gave me, which is his spirit. I live my life at all times. And the world will know if they're winnable, if they have an ear to hear, they will be won if we do not deviate truth and walk according to the light, my friends. We cannot win over society walking in the flesh. We cannot. We cannot. As the Father hath loved me, Jesus said, John 15, so have I loved you. How did the Father love you, Jesus? He gave me his nature. And I lived my life out of that nature, and I kept his commandments. Now you have his nature. Now you keep his commandments as I kept his commandments by the love that he loved me with when he put his love inside of me. Now his love is inside of you. Now you keep his commandments because his love is inside of you. Don't deviate from it. Don't deviate from that love. Don't deviate from the gift of God. Don't deviate from it. As the Father hath loved me, Jesus said, and given me of his spirit, so have I loved you. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. The commandments came forth out of Jesus Christ because of the love of God. They sprung forth from that place inside and the renewing of his mind. We've been loved by God when we confess that Jesus is the Christ, and instantaneously we were born of him. We live out of that light, man. We live out of that light. And as we live out of that light, no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected inside of us. Guys, we've been saying God is love for a long time with no results. But if we live our life out of our spirit, the God that we say is love, that love will be felt in the eyes of a sinner, because there's a few in Immokalee, Florida, that aren't afraid to live their life out of their spirit no matter what they face. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us. God dwelleth in it, and the world will know that God dwells in this by the way we live our life. If we lived our life out of the light, what's being passed today would not even be an agenda. Would not even be on a platform. Maybe it would, but it wouldn't be being passed, because there'd be enough Christians standing up with integrity saying, that is wrong. We've been way too passive. We are minorities in this town. Well, not really the white people are, but you get it in general. And I can say this because I got black in my family. I got Indian. I got Puerto Rican. What else? We got Haitian. I got, like Pastor Brown, I can talk about this. We have lived according to culture way too long, my friends, while 800,000 little ones are being slaughtered every year. But no, we say nothing because we just can't. Because my uncle and my auntie and my tia and my tia Romana and my tio Pepe, they don't think like that. So we're scared of a little confrontation. And I can't tell you which way to go. If I got to tell you which way to vote, you got problems. There's no true champion out there. I'm sure Pastor Brown would agree. There's no true champion out there. There's no true champion. We better tighten up. Oh, we better tighten up. The grass is still green, friends. It's still green. It's still easy. It's still easy. It's still real easy. The only way society will know that God is love is by me and you living our life out of our spirit, according to the Word of God. They won't see God. The only God they'll see is God in me and you. Beloved, if God so loved us, gave us of his life, we also ought to love one another as we obey the life that's in us. For no man has seen God at any time. Society hasn't seen God. Homer, you haven't seen God. Not physically, but you've seen him internally the day you confess that Jesus is the Christ. Homer, and what you received spiritually, by the way, live out of that. When you live out of that spirit, Homer, and if somebody is winnable, Homer, they will be won. John 15, as the Father has loved me, Jesus said, how did the Father love you, Jesus? He gave me of his life. And I lived my life out of his life in me. How did you live your life in God? I lived it out of his life in me. What did you do to live his love out of his life? No. I kept his commandments and obeyed his life inside of me. Now, as I kept his commandments by living my life out of my spirit, which was the spirit of God that lived inside of me, you now, church, are the beloved. You are born again. Now you live and you keep the commandments out of your spirit, and the world will know that you belong to me. Let them hate us without a cause. John 15, they hated Jesus without a cause. Let them hate us without a cause. Let them hate us without a cause. Living our life out of God inside of us. By this will all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another. And having love one to another is keeping the word of God at all times, not on occasion, not in season, and it's keeping it all the time, no matter what you face, man. Living holy behind closed doors when nobody's around. When no one's around, living holy before the Father. Beloved, if God so loved us, and his spirit's inside of us, so we also ought to love one another as Jesus lived out his life out of his spirit and kept the word of God. So now us, as human beings, we live out this life in God keeping his word, and the world will be one. This revival will cause millions upon millions to call out on the name of the Lord. We got to remember, or I have to remember in closing, yes, there are millions and millions that are falling by the wayside in apostasy, but my friends, and make no mistake, there will be millions and millions that return to the Almighty God. We got to remember that. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? I was up the other day. I was thinking, Pastor Bronk, how are we going to do it? How are we going to know when revival comes? How are we going to know when it's time to shut the doors at 2 o'clock in the morning? Where are we going to sleep? Are they going to follow us to our house wanting us to keep? It's beyond me. It's beyond my human comprehension. How is this going to happen? But you know what? That's not my place to figure that out. How's it going to happen, Pastor? Are they going to bother me at my door? Are they going to, when it's 3 o'clock and we're tired and 50 arms have been grown out, are they going to let me go sleep in my house, Pastor? Are they going to leave Terry alone? How's it going to transpire, Pastor? How? I don't know. All I know is I got to love the world like he loved me. That's all I know. And we got to know, we can't be content with just quoting. He said, love not the world, John said, or the things in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in it. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it's not of the Father, but it's of the world. And the world passes away, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. The church corporately has done a good job articulating, preaching with no doing. With no doing. We've been in a sleep and in slumber, living our life. I was going to say double-mindedness, but now I figured out what double-mindedness means in the book of James, and it doesn't mean what I was going to say it meant. But we lived our life, the dark side, the flesh, the earthy man that we were. There's only one culture that we live by, and that's Jesus' culture. I am a very proud Mexicano. I love where I come from. I love the work ethic my dad instilled in me. I'm a very proud Mexican-American, very proud. And you should be a very proud Haitian, a very proud African-American. But my friends, we have stuck together in our thinking. Right or wrong, Alex? We have stuck together in our thinking. We have blamed the white person for all of our downfalls throughout the years. Every white person is racist. We've thought alike. I know more racist Mexicans than I do racist white people, and we are the smaller group in the United States. See, Pastor Bronk's scared to say amen. He will jump on him. He said amen. I can't believe he said amen. It's time. This is our heritage. This is our heritage. This is our heritage. My brothers and my sisters of a darker color. This is our heritage. Pastor Omar, I don't agree with you. Pray in the Spirit and read the Bible. You will eventually. You will eventually. In closing again. In closing again. And I'm going back and forth a little bit today. The main thrust of it is we cannot live our life outside of our spirit, the Holy of Holies, even when it hurts. Even when it hurts, even when you're called a switch out being a Mexican. And I've been called that. Oh, you switch out. Yeah, I switched out a life of sin the servant and the Savior. You got that right, brother. I'm going to switch out. Yeah. Yeah, you got that right. I'll say this and I'm done. And I'm going back to the political arena a little bit. Every no vote is a vote with me and you agreeing to the slaughter of 800,000 babies a year. I'm not going to vote. Okay, that's fine. You'll have to face somebody on the day of judgment. I'm not telling you're going to hell. That's not what I'm saying. But go ahead and sit back in your passive ways. Sit back and don't complain when Common Core comes knocking on our school and they want to teach your child, give them a class on alternative lifestyle. Don't complain. Don't you don't have a right. I might hit you with this mic if you complain. Don't complain when Common Core is forced down our throats because the Christians said nothing because we live according to culture. We live according to culture. No right to complain. That is not living your life out of your spirit, my friends. You might be scared of a little persecution. I got to be careful because I think I'm looking for it a little bit. I better slow down a little bit. Are you mad? No, I'm not mad. I just want us to stand strong as an army. I want a soldier right along you. I want you to finish with boldness. We can't give in. We can't give in. We can't give in. Don't go look for a fight. But if you're in a conversation and you feel the liberty at that time to talk when there's no malice inside of you, please, by all means, speak up. Speak up. It might cost you a friend. It might cost you a boyfriend. It might cost you a girlfriend. For God's sake, speak up. There's no political correctness in the kingdom of God. None at all. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You find me a man that walked politically correct. He is our perfect prototype and lived his life out of his spirit and never sinned. And he said some mighty powerful things to people at times. You brood of vipers. Whitewashed tombs. Woe unto you. Listen carefully. It's time to march. Beloved, if God so loved us, gave us of his spirit to live out of his spirit inside of us, we also ought to love one another. For no man has seen God at any time. You haven't physically seen him, but you've seen him spiritually, and he lives in you. And as we live inside of him, those in the world will know that he is God as me and you obey our spirit, man. And they'll know of a truth that God lives inside of us. And they'll say, yes, we want that Redeemer only if we live our life in the Spirit. We love him because he first loved us. I couldn't love him first lest his spirit dwell in me first. You with me, Renee? We love him because he first loved us. Jesus, you are the Christ. Boom, the love of God comes and lives inside of me now. Now, I love him because I'm born of him. And in loving him, I love you. We love him because he first loved us and sent Jesus Christ as a propitiation. Jesus, you are the Christ. boom, instantaneously his love comes and saturates my being. And out of that place, I love the world. We love him because he first loved us. Father, I receive your love. Bam! The life of God lives inside of you. Now I love him because I am born of him. A man say, I love God and hateth his brother. He is a liar. For he that loveth, hateth his brother who has not seen, how can he love God? He who hateth his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God who has not seen? This commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. We love him. His spirit lives in us. He came and breathed the breath of life inside of us. Now I love him because I keep his word. And in keeping his word, I love him. And in loving him, I love you. Therein is revival. Let us go unto the other side, my friends. Let us go unto the other side, living our life out of our spirit. We love him because he first loved us. Your life is in me, Father. As I obey that life, I prove to the world that I belong to you. My friends, all lives matter. All lives matter. Muslim lives matter. Homosexual lives matter. All lives matter. Let's journey together, living our life out of the Holy of Holies, never deviating from that which is pure. That's the only way society will ever see God, not physically, but spiritually, is by our conduct in him, living our life out of our spirit. Stand firm. Stand firm, soldier. Stand firm, soldier. Amen. Glory. Glory. Father, we bless you. We thank you. And we glorify your name, Lord. Our life, Father, means nothing. It's vanity if we cannot obey your word. If we cannot obey your word, Father, we do the kingdom no justice. For no one lights a candle, Father, and puts it under a bed or in a secret place, Father, but it's lit to be put on a lampstand so that all that walk in may see the light. We live our life according to your word, regardless of what we face. We love to the end. We love to the last breath that we take, Father. We do not deviate from the Holy of Holies, Father. Why? Just because we love you. Just because we love you. That the world may hate us, Father. Not that we want it, without a cause. May they hate us. Hopefully not when we say in the name of Jesus Christ, arise from the dead. We stand for you and say that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but through the Lamb of God, regardless of what we face. So, Father, we worship you. And I pray for soldiers that we co-labor together, Father, that they heed these words. They go home and they put their nose in the scripture. They utter that language that you've given us, Father God. And go from glory to glory. Glory to glory. Glory to glory to glory to glory to glory. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. God bless you. We will see you Wednesday.